Hello, friend. Welcome back to the Shanti Ma podcast. This is episode 16. Today I sit down with New Jersey filmmaker Samuel Rivera. Samuel is a self-taught videographer and content creator. He crafts powerful messages through his work to inspire, motivate, and empower his audience. With nearly a million views on YouTube, he has gained the well-deserved attention of iconic folks like Joe Rogan, Jocko Willink, as well as multiple world-time boxing champion trainer Teddy Atlas for his remarkable curation of video content. In this episode, we discuss Sam's story of how he went from being overweight and miserable, struggling with debt and divorce, to living an empowered and full life behind the lens. We get an inside peek at the mindset he's built for himself with the various ways he's navigated obstacles on his journey. We dive into who to take constructive criticism from, feedback and advice, and who to ignore, i.e. trolls, and how to keep it real no matter where you are on the path. What an inspiring and down-to-earth fella. I really enjoyed our chat, and I know you will too. If you dig this episode of the Shanti Ma podcast, please remember to subscribe. You can also show some love by leaving a review. Reviews on Apple and iTunes are especially helpful for world domination. And with that, I thank you. You can also become a member on Patreon at patreon.com/Shanti Ma. With your support, I can update sound and video quality so that you can have the best experience possible. Welcome, Samuel.
Thanks for having me here.
Do you prefer Sam or Samuel?
My friends call me Sam. Okay. My official name or birth given name is Samuel, and that's the name of my company, but everybody I know calls me Sam.
Sam. All right, cool. Well, welcome, Sam.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Yeah. I was going to say, thank you again also for helping me out. You gave me a little bit of feedback with my very first little video that I produced on Instagram.
So I was impressed. Like when you told me you did it on your cell phone, I'm like, wow, like that's really good.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, I mean, I've been kind of learning everything as I go along here, and it's been very interesting because you kind of have to do everything yourself, especially if you're kind of working for yourself. You gotta be a master or master of none, but a jack of all trades, I think.
Yeah. And you know what, we were just saying right before before we went live here, like you have access to so much information. Like it's so easy to learn. There's no excuse. Like you can, like, for example, like I just built this bookshelf that's underneath my desk that I needed to store all my hard drives prior. It was like literally filling up my entire desk. I'm like, all right, I've got to do something. And I never went to wood shop. I never, you know, I'm like probably one of the least handiest people, but I looked online, I watched a couple videos, and like, I was able to build this little bookshelf that I'm super proud of. And, you know, I wouldn't have been able to do that had I not had access to, I either need to be mentored by somebody that was a carpenter or figure it out, I guess, on my own. But, you know, with YouTube, like you can literally learn anything you want. It's crazy.
That's actually super true. I gave myself a haircut during COVID when it was like, when we were really hardcore lockdown, I pulled a YouTube video. And as I was doing it, I started to have this panic where I was like, no girl, you are committed now, stay calm, or this is gonna go really bad. The only thing, it was okay. The only thing I couldn't quite get right was the framing around my face. So I had like a perpetual like hair flip where I would just like continue to like brush this hair back so it would like flip over so you couldn't really tell. But I'm like, who's gonna see it anyways?
Yeah. Now rewind this like 30 years ago, let's say, and like you had, let's say COVID hit back then, and like mm-hmm. you needed to give yourself a haircut, like mm-hmm. then what? Imagine how much worse it would have looked. At least you had like some sort of guidance because of these videos, right?
Oh, that's so true. Yeah, you can learn anything online now. So there is some benefit, of course, for being connected, but definitely the overload of information is kind of what we were talking about for you folks that didn't get to hear our awesome conversation before I counted us down. So let's start by having you kind of give a brief background of who you are and what you do.
Okay. So my name is Sam Rivera. I am a filmmaker. I never went to school for filmmaking. I just, just to add on to what we just said about, like, you can pretty much learn anything you want. I pretty much learned everything that I know up until this point through YouTube. So, and through trial and error. So, I create motivational videos. I've created videos on local coaches, some of my friends, and videos up to, people like Joe Rogan and Jocko Willink and many other, if you want to call them celebrities. It's actually given me a passport into a world where I would never have access to had I not become a filmmaker. As a result of some of my videos, I now am a videographer for people like, Teddy Atlas. And for those that don't know who he is, he's world boxing trainer, and he's most, I guess, notably for training or most famous for training Mike Tyson. And again, I wouldn't have been able to meet a guy like him or even work with him on a pretty much weekly basis had I not become a filmmaker. So it's been quite a journey. So.
And so what made you pick up your camera?
So I always liked creating like little videos, taking pictures. I always had a little fascination with cameras in general. But I first started doing videos on like my family. I would create like little fun, like if we go on a vacation, I create like a little video, and it was just something that that we watched, and I decided to take that to the next level by creating videos on like my friends, local coaches, and really anybody that would just sit in front of my camera to tell their story. And I would just do these like little interviews on them, and I started to publish them online. And when I created these videos, I noticed that like everybody had the common theme based on the questions I would ask them, that they all went through some sort of struggle and they found a way to get out of that struggle. And through creating these videos, I actually got a lot of lesson, taught myself like, hey, if they can do it and they can, overcome these struggles in life and overcome these adversities, so can I. And I would share these videos on YouTube. I have a YouTube channel, and I'd get people that would reach out to me from like literally all over the world saying, hey, you know what, like your videos have helped me overcome adversities, helped me like get through the struggle. And the craziest ones, I would get I got a comment one time, or not a comment, but this guy reached out to me directly and said, hey, listen, I want to let you know, and this might come across as being a little weird, but I want to let you know that I watched this one video of yours, and it actually like stopped me from committing suicide. And I'm like, wow, like that's pretty powerful. That like, what would happen if I didn't become a filmmaker and I didn't create that video? This poor guy would not be here, right? His family would miss him. I'm not sure, why he felt he needed to take his own life, but it's pretty powerful and pretty inspiring for me to know that I created something that stopped somebody from doing something that would have been so terrible.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and it totally gives a different meaning behind your work, because now it's not at all about, ego and pride and all of that. Of course, it's more because you're actually spreading a message and inspiring other people, and you're moving something from your heart, which kind of reaches people in a much more genuine way, instead of it just being like, ooh, flashy explosions and graphics and all that kind of stuff. But no, actually your videos are great. I really like the way that you tie in these really important messages, and it, just the like music and the video selection you choose too is so dramatic that you can't help but like be like, yeah, I can climb a mountain and I can defeat anyone and anything. I got this.
What's funny is that like when I first started doing these videos, I didn't like do that with this like crazy intention of like, hey, let me go out there and motivate people. And that's just sort of been a byproduct of these videos. But when I create a video, it's really like, I try and find messages that resonate with me. And I on it, quite honestly, I create these videos more for myself. Like, these are messages that I need to hear. And then I turn them into what they, you know, what they are at the end. But most importantly, is that, like, it's got to resonate with me. I've got to make sure that, like, you know, this message means something to me. And at the end of it, I feel something. And then I create these videos. So yeah, it's been, I'm not sure where I was going with that point, but, you know, that's sort of how I, started all of this.
So what do you think drew you to the message of overcoming adversity? Like, so much so that you decided that you would, you know, start making a lot of these different films and putting them out there for people?
So really it was, I think overcoming in general, you know, resonates with me because, you know, I overcame my own, you know, life struggles. You know, rewinding back, you know, more than a decade ago, I was like 280 pounds. I was in an extremely toxic relationship, and I was going through a divorce, and you know, at the time I had to move back in with my parents, and I felt like a complete, you know, if I'm being quite honest, a complete fucking loser. Like, mm-hmm. you know, living with my parents, I'm 280 pounds. You know, I have three kids from, you know, from that marriage. And I'm like, you know, I was into debt. I was up to debt, you know, like crazy amount of debt where at the end of the week, I barely could afford a pizza pie for, you know, for my kids. And, I decided to, start working out, and I found, this workout program from this guy, his name is Chris Gethin. And what that program, going through that 12-week transformation, what that taught me was through discipline and through hard work, you can change your life. Now, I was doing that through a physical way, but in that process, I learned, hey, you know what, if I could apply this to my physical life and take these same principles and apply them to everything else, can I change my life? And that's how I started on that path. It's like, this is how I'm going to overcome what I'm going through one step at a time. Again, I started on a physical level, and I just apply those same principles to everything else in my life. So,
was there a moment that you had, 'cause like, here's the thing, there's people that are in that similar or in a similar position that you were, and they never get out of it. So there was obviously a moment for you where something kind of switched or clicked, where you kind of had this moment of like, no, this is not okay for me. I want to make a change. I want, like, was there a moment that you can recall?
The moment was really when I was going through divorce and having to move back in with my parents, not having, like I said, not having any money at the end of the week after I paid off all my bills. And I'm like, this is crazy. Like, that was the moment. I'm like, look, there was nothing else that I could change I couldn't change my circumstances at that point, where I was not going to be able to find more money. I was not able to really move out of my parents' house. So I said, you know what, the only thing that I can change at this point is me. So that's why I decided to go on that path of, you know what, let me go through this physical transformation that would allow me to at least change some aspect of my life, because I was not happy with who I was. So that was really the defining moment. Like, I'm moving back in with my parents, and the only thing I can do is just change myself. So let me start there.
Well, I find that interesting. And the reason why I'm kind of highlighting that area is because what I often notice is there are people that have those moments and they look within, okay, I can't change what's going on out there. I have to change in here. And I relate to that message because that has been where I have rebuilt myself from. But I guess for the people that kind of get stuck in that place, I often wonder what it is that keeps a person there. So do you think that ability to go, okay, this is the circumstance, they're not great, but instead of, you know, becoming a victim here, I want to look within and figure out what I can do. Where do you think for you that came from? Like, is there, like where does that strength come from? Because that's what it is.
Yeah, I think, I mean, people will have all types of excuses why not to change, because it's a lot easier to blame things externally rather than looking within. And I think that, you know, once you put your ego aside and you say, hey, you know what, the only person that I have to blame here is myself, is the only time that you can change. So, you know, for me, where does that come from? I'm not sure. I just decided, I just was so unhappy with my current state that I said, I've got to do something. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't blame anybody else for, you know, nobody, you know, tied me up and decided to stuff McDonald's cheeseburgers down my throat every day. I got to that 280-pound point because of the decisions that I had made. I got into that toxic relationship because I decided to be in that relationship. Nobody, you know, held a gun to my head and said, you're going to get married to this person. It's like, these are all decisions that I had made. And now, you know, having to live with my parents and being this crazy amount of debt was a result of all the bad decisions that I made up until that point. Mm-hmm. So I had nobody to blame but me. And the only way that I can make change for myself was if I decided to reverse all those bad decisions and start putting one foot in front of the other and really, you know, change my life. Like, the only person that's going to change my life is me. That's the only person that has complete control of that, not somebody else. And somebody else isn't going to be able to, you know, help me lose weight. Somebody else isn't going to be able to help me pay off my debt. Nobody else is going to, you know, find, you know, help me find happiness. Like, the happiness has to come from yourself. So by putting one step or one foot in front of the other, that's how you're going to be able to change your life. Like, you have control of your life. Nobody else does.
Yeah, definitely. Personal responsibility. Because because when you realize that it's your own choices that have created and contributed to your circumstances, it actually empowers you to change. Because if it's always somebody else's fault or an external circumstance and you're the victim, then you actually don't have any power to change, because, well, it's everybody else's fault. I have no control here. So then you can't.
Yeah. So. And I'm not denying that. Like, listen, there are going to be people that are going to backstab you or do you wrong. And that's not your fault, right? There's going to be certain things that are just completely out of your control, but what you can control it, right? Like, mm-hmm. you know, there's certain things, whether it's your finances, your health, your happiness, the relationships that you put yourself in, like, that's all under your control.
Yeah. Because even if somebody does backstab you or do something crappy to try to tear you down, it's still your choice as to how you want to respond to that as well. So, I mean, there's a lot more control over the things that we allow into our, not just our life, but allow into our internal world, you know?
Yeah, no, I don't disagree. And like I said, going back to that point, like with the whole backstabbing thing, like, listen, people are going to make mistakes, right? There's going to be certain things that people do to you that are unintentional. And, you know, for that, you have to forgive it. But if it's a constant pattern where these people or this one individual is constantly doing something to hurt you, whether it's physical or emotional, like, you've got to be strong enough to say, hey, you know what? I'm no longer tolerating this. I've got to change my circumstance. Mm-hmm. And again, the only person that's in control of that is you.
Yeah. Actually, a lady I had on my podcast, Hillary Jastrom, a few episodes ago, she said, once is forgivable, twice is a pattern. There's the door.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's good, because we were talking about raising your standards. And, you know, I think that is a part of the transformational process. Like, obviously there's so many different steps to it, so many different parts, but that's definitely one thing that I'm learning even in my own life is, you know, changing your standards isn't just about like what you accept from other people, but it's also what you tolerate and accept within yourself too. So that's all. So, okay. I want to ask you then so you started going to, I guess it was a gym program that you were doing with this guy.
Yeah. So he had like, it was on bodybuilding.com, and they had like this free 12-week transformation series. And I just literally follow it. They basically gave you like a blueprint. Like, there's no way in hell that you could fail unless you just didn't do the program. And I just followed those steps, that blueprint, you know, day in and day out. And I started to see results pretty quick, you know, pretty quickly. And, but the, you know, the biggest point was that, like, you know, again, just having the discipline, look, they weren't going to do the workout for me, right? I had to, I had to do it myself. So just by following the steps and showing up every day and being disciplined with my meal plans and my workouts, like, I start to see positive changes in my life, not just physically, but, like, you know, mentally. Mm-hmm. And then again, you know, applying those same principles of discipline and showing up and doing and putting in the hard work in other areas of my life, you will also see change. Like, so, yeah, I really attribute a lot of who I am today as a result of that program. Cause that was really where it all began. It was, you know, that program taught me a lot about, you know, discipline and hard work.
Yeah. And actually discipline and hard work boosts your confidence as well. Cause you know, you're showing up every single day, and especially if you're in a really low point, and for anybody who's off because of COVID right now, it's really hard to feel like you have a sense of purpose and meaning in your life. So when you have something like that, just that sense of meaning and working towards something, it really does change your mental state, like, massively.
Yeah. You know, what's crazy is that, like, I'll hear people say, hey, you know what, I just don't have the time, or I don't have the energy to work, to, you know, to work out. And I'm not this like big fitness guru, but I find that, like, when I do, you know, when I do work out, like, it actually gives me more energy. And, mm-hmm. you know, going back to like that 12 week program that I put myself through, it taught me that, like, hey, you know what, like, if I could put myself through this hard workout, like, everything else in my life seems a lot more easy, you know, a lot more easier to manage. Like, that, mm-hmm. that brutal workout makes this, you know, this other thing that's going on in my life seem petty. So, yeah, I think it's, you know, super critical to, you know, to take care of your body on a physical level, because it's going to help you with, you know, the mental aspects of the rest of your life as well.
So after you did this program, because you were saying kind of step by step, like, after you did this program, what was kind of like your next step after that? The reason why I'm asking is because, obviously, in having this conversation, I want to pick things apart so that I can. So for people who are listening, who are like, yeah, that sounds like me, we're giving them also some like ideas to kind of toss around in their own head about where they can go and, you know, what's the next step after that.
You know, it wasn't like, hey, you know what, I'm done with this now, you know, I'm over the mountain, I've made it. It's like, you know, there was still a lot of other struggles, right? I still had to get out of debt. I still had to, you know, get out of my parents' house. But after that, really, I want to say, so I finished that program, and then I did another one, and then I did another one. I was like, I became sort of addicted to doing these programs, because I was just so happy with, like, the physical transformations, you know, looking in the mirror and saying, hey, look, I used to look like this. Now I look like this. And, but so the next step from there was really like, I guess, you know, from there I met my wife, my girlfriend at the time. And, you know, I realized that, like, you know, she had such a solid, like, you know, upbringing and a solid, like, you know, family. And like, she was like very much like, family oriented, I guess you could say. And from there, you know, I'm jumping all over the place here, because, you know, it was a big time span. This because, like, the workout program, that was around like 2008, 2009. I met my wife around 2011, and we, you know, we ended up getting married, you know, years later, and we bought a house and started a new family. And, so I guess to answer your question, what happened after that was like the biggest thing that happened in my life next was starting a new relationship with somebody that actually appreciated who I was and loved me for who I am and wanted to see me succeed in all aspects of my life. That was really the next step. So I guess if I'm tying it all together, it was like I went from having somebody that was looking to see, you know, in the previous relationship, looking to have me at my worst, to being in a relationship with somebody that wanted to see me at my best. So I think surrounding yourself with positive people and people that love you is super critical.
Oh, definitely, definitely. Because, and this is kind of coming back to the patterns and standards and everything. Because, yeah, if you have people in your life that are constantly making you feel like you're not doing good enough, putting you down, tearing you down, and or even you just have like a toxic dynamic with that person, you cannot be your best at all. And
No, you're just wasting so much energy. Sorry to cut you off.
no,
You're
it's
wasting
okay.
so much energy, having these constant fights, and like you don't realize how much time you're wasting, on trying to like manage this toxic relationship that is never going to be fixable. Like this person's so broken, and you're trying to play a game that, I always joke around and say like. People will always say like, oh, I can't believe this person did this to me or did that to me. And it's like, listen, like you're playing a game, in this life, you're playing a game, let's say you're applying the rules of baseball, but this person's playing, fucking football. Like you guys
Tackle
have two
football.
set, you have two separate sets of rules here. It's that like, you're never going to win this game because they're playing a different set of rules in life. And once you learn that, hey, you know what? Like, I can't fix this person. And I'm spending so much of my energy like trying to work out this relationship. It's like it's a mess. Like you gotta get rid of those people that are toxic in your life.
Yeah, definitely. Because when you surround yourself with people that encourage you, it makes a huge difference. And I mean, I can relate to that because it wasn't until my current relationship that I'm in, like we kind of both started doing the same thing, like writing and sharing, and both kind of started podcasts around the same time. And so many people, and it's so funny how it's usually your friends and family that will either express, their concerns about what you're doing, and they think that they're helping you, but they're like filling your head with doubt. Or you have people that, because of their own disbelief in being able to step outside of what is the sort of normal box they live in, will make some really disparaging comments about what you're doing. And there was this one moment where we were like, we had been working so hard and we were so broke, like so broke. And we were just like trying to like become resourceful. And we had, we were just the beginning of creating something and believing in ourselves and each other. And just these comments, these ignorant, crappy comments from people that were supposed to be like family and loved ones, we both were like, no. No more. We are not sharing. Like, we are just going to keep at it and encourage one another. And we're not going to share with other people what we're doing. We're just going to do it. And the proof will be in the pudding. And we've both encouraged each other. And like, for me, I wasn't like, I would say a lot of me and what I've even been able to accomplish with my podcast has been from having consistent encouragement from my partner. Just having someone, like we all have our self-doubt, and you have these moments where you're like, I don't know, and you get in your head and you get in your way, and just having another voice there that's like, I believe in you, and like pushing you along. It's such a huge difference between, that and then kind of going back and you look at like other relationships and you're just like, wow, it's such a big difference.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think, but I also think, like you said, with having the family that was sort of discouraging you and saying like, what the heck are you guys doing? Like that might have even like fueled your fire, right? Like, you know what? I'm going to show this person that I can really do something with this. Sometimes that can encourage you. Like, I know for me personally, like the shit that I was going through in my past, like that fueled me for like I had so much anger and like I was able to channel that into my workouts and trying to improve my life. So I think having that it all depends. Like you could either use that to be an excuse to remain where you are, or you can use that as an excuse to propel you to another area of your life or to take the next step in your life. So I think it comes down to the individual to what lens are you viewing that from, right? Like you're going to use that for, you can use that for you, or you can use that to, against you.
Oh, definitely. Actually, my mom just recently, like one of our last visits that we had, we were talking about like high school, and she was talking about how she loved playing basketball, and she moved with her family her grade 12 year from like the East Coast of Canada, from like a really small community, to the West Coast of Canada, to BC. And when she, 'cause she had played basketball, loved it. And then when she got out this way, you know, her grade 12 year, she was telling me about how she wanted to join the basketball team. And the town we're from is snooty. I don't know what it is. I've had friends from other places. It's like there's just some sort of small-minded mentality about this place, and people are really not the most friendly. So for my mom, it was so jarring coming from, you know, the East Coast of Canada, where people are so friendly. Anyways, so she's telling me the story about how she wanted to join the basketball team, and she was told she was not welcome to join, so she didn't.
Why?
Cause girls from Abbotsford are bitches. I'm just gonna say it. For anybody listening from Abbotsford, you know what I'm talking about. They're just judgmental and very like exclusive. And I don't know. I don't know what it is, but it's just the way that people seem to be from that place.
Wow.
And so funny, I've never used the B word on my podcast before. Ooh, so risque. But anyways, so the point of my story is my mom was told she wasn't welcome to join, and so she didn't. And then I was like, did you ever like, you know, play basketball after that? And she's like, no, I just didn't. I just never played again. She got so emotional, and I could tell she was back in high school. Like, and I just had this moment where I said to her, I was like, but you know that you could have played. You could have joined anyways and been like, you can't stop me. It's like the way that we experience things. So we have some, like, depending on our character and depending on our environment, we will accept that defeat, or we become very, you know, tenacious and competitive. But it's kind of in recognizing, or you go back and forth between the two, where you're like, you know, there's like fluctuations of it. But anyhow, the point is that it was, I just said to her, I'm like, but you could have, I'm like, you know, you could have chose to say, screw you, I'm going to anyways, and I'm going to be better than you. Or you could have, you know, just played basketball with friends, or, you know, by yourself and just kept playing. But for her, it was just this moment of rejection that still pains her to this day, where she was like, and so she never played again. And there's so
Wow.
many people that are out there where it's like, you know, someone makes a comment, they love to sing, and someone makes a comment about their voice, and then they never sing again. So it's like, I don't know, for anybody that's listening, there's always going to be someone out there who's going to try to get in your way and stop you. And it hardly has anything to do with you, it has to do with something in them. So it's just that choice to be like, no.
Yeah, and what's sad, you know, going back to your mom's story, is that, like, you know, maybe they were, you know, jealous of her abilities, and had she decided to, like, you know, continue pursuing playing basketball, it's like, would she have been the best player on the team? And maybe that's why, you know, they didn't want her on there. They didn't want her to be, or they didn't want to be outshined by your mother's abilities. So a lot of times, like, you got to really recognize, like, where this advice or where these comments are coming from. It's like, this person might be so sick internally that, like, you know, it makes them happy. Like, we all heard the keyboard warriors before, right? It's like, there's always, I get comments all the time, these crazy comments on some of my videos, and it's like, you can't listen to to those messages, right? You can't read that and then say, you know what, you know, I've had people tell me, like, oh, your video sucks, and I look at their YouTube channel, they've got nothing on there. It's like, who are you? Like, who are you to give me advice? Like, are you this crazy director, like, crazy famous director that's, like, you know, watching my content and trying to give me constructive criticism? Odds are no. Like, because these famous directors are far too busy to probably even watch one of my videos. So it's like,
If you have the time to be trolling, you
yeah.
should be living under a bridge somewhere.
Like, you probably have not, I mean, think about that. Like, what place do you have to be in your life to say, you know what, I'm gonna write a shitty comment about this guy's video? If I've seen a crappy video, I probably just move on. I don't have the time to, like, you know, sit there and, like, give this guy, maybe I'll give him constructive criticism. Hey, I'd love to see this next time. But, like, to shit on the person, like, that's, I've got to be in a crazy spot in my life to sit there and want to do that.
Yeah. And even to just forget that that's a person you're talking to. Yeah. It's really easy to hide behind a screen and be anonymous and slink around like a snake on the internet and just say whatever gross, vile things come to mind because you feel like this person is highlighting something in your own life that is lacking. That's, you know, like really right. easy because there's no responsibility and there's no threat of violence that if you said that to Sam's face, well, I'm not saying you're a violent person, but there's always that like threat of reputation. There's the threat of violence or, you know, anything like that, or even right. social. If you went out into like a group setting and you start saying something like that, most of the time people would look at you and reject you from the gathering because that kind of behavior is, like you said, it's so unhealthy and sick. So actually, that was one of my questions I had for you. How do you deal with the haters?
I used to get offended. I gotta be honest with you. I used to like, it would get underneath my skin, like, ah, like, why is this person, you know? Now I just, you know, I remember, it's funny. I don't know what I'm allowed to say on here or not.
You can say anything you want. Okay. I just said, bitch, I was calling people snakes. I'm jacked up today.
So I remember I had posted, Rogan had shared one of my videos and my account went like super crazy. That's probably how you, you know, found my Instagram page. Mm-hmm. Anyway, long story short, I was sharing, like, people would share my videos and I would, you know, I would share that share. Long story short, this guy that just, I didn't know who the hell he was. He decided to direct message me. He's like, hey dude, I just started to follow you and I see that you like sucking your own dick and that's it. I'm going to unfollow you. I'm like, what?
That's laughable. I'm sorry. It's ridiculous. Who says that?
I was like, I laughed. I'm like, wow. Like, that's so freaking crazy. Like, I wanted to reply to the guy, but I said, you know what, he's obviously on some shit and I just let it go. So to answer your question, like, I just ignore those people. I don't even bother responding to them because that's what they're looking for. They're looking for me to like, to react to their comment. And that's probably the most craziest comment I've ever gotten.
It's just like, it's so ridiculous. Like, can you imagine if someone said that to your face? Like, there'd be consequences, like, for sure.
Yeah, I would laugh. I'd be like, what is this guy even on? Like, that's crazy. He must be smacked out. Like, crazy.
Oh my God. Yes.
Yeah, you can't listen to those comments. Like, you know, whether it's somebody saying something to you in your face, like, look, if somebody's giving you some constructive feedback, like, hey, you know what, Sam, I noticed that you have a tendency to do this when we, you know, when we get into the arguments or like you react a certain way, you've got to listen to that feedback, especially if it's like more than one person saying that. So, you know, when it comes to like my videos or even in life, like you got to listen to the feedback. Like if it's a constant pattern that you're exhibiting or a constant mistake that you're making on your work, you've got to listen to that. But if it's a shit comment like that, like you like sucking your own, well, obviously those are comments that you got to disregard. So.
Oh God, that's so good. That's probably the funniest thing I've ever heard on my podcast before. Oh my gosh. But yeah, that's so true. When people say that kind of stuff, it's just like, how much time do you have? Like I'm busy making films.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, but then, like I said, I do read the comments and there's been times where people are like, hey, you know, I noticed that your music, you know, your music is a little too loud and you start making those adjustments and you start mm-hmm. listening to that constructive, you know, feedback. And you're like, okay, now I'm able, by listening to these 10 people that have all said the same thing, I'm able to take my videos to the next level. So you learn how to fix those things. And you take that feedback, but again, you got to know when to decipher when it's a good feedback versus, you know, bad feedback.
Yeah. And I think like, you know, getting feedback and constructive criticism towards like your work and what you're doing. Like actually with that little video that I made, you gave me some constructive feedback, but it was because I actually did, I think it was the frame rates were different. And so there was a bit of a glitch and I didn't know how to fix it. And I was like, eh, good enough. And I just posted it anyways. But then you told me how to fix it. That's perfect. But then you get, you know, people who, you know, might want, I guess I'm just not popular enough. I don't have many haters at this point, but
surprisingly, I've had a few trolls and they've been people that I thought were my friends. Oh. And I was like, oh, I see what's happening here. And that's been something I've experienced in the last like few months where it was like people, and I was just like, you know, like people trying to, just people trying to almost like these people that are supposed to be my friends trying to make me almost look, you know, stupid. And there's like one person in particular, and they were trying to, you know, spiritualize my message, and they were acting superior about it. And I was like, this is not a, I'm not a spiritual guru. I'm teaching what I'm learning. There's enough, you know, Instagram spiritual gurus. What I'm trying to do is fill that gap for people who are, you know, struggling to kind of get a grip on believing in themselves and their self-worth. And like, that's a really good place to start, because now the focus is on empowerment through your own resources that you can develop as a person, instead of like, oh, I have to believe that it's, you know, some greater God outside of myself. That can come, and there's nothing wrong with that. But I think that there's something to be said about giving people the tools so they feel that they have the power. A lot of people don't want to believe that it exists outside of themselves. I mean, that's the journey that I've come to myself. Anyways, and it was just these comments and almost just trying to have these like philosophical arguments. And I'm like, that's not what I do on here. And finally, when I confronted this person, I was like, hey, man, like, you know, that actually is coming across like, you know, some moral superiority. And like, I've been incredibly supportive of everything you do and all your work. Like, where is this coming from? And I was told that it's not their information. It's coming from things that they've learned, and it is superior. And as soon as I heard that, and that I was told I was giving half truths, I was like, I see here. You're not a true friend.
Right.
That was really eye-opening for me, because I thought like, you know, and kind of, I struggled with it for a good week or two, because I was thinking like, you know, you think that when you start doing this kind of stuff, your friends that you have in your life are going to really encourage you. But no, there's going to be people that are not strangers telling you to suck your own dick. There's going to be people who are going to come along and try to tell you why you don't deserve it.
Yeah. Or even mock you, like, oh, you know, she's the guru now. It's like, I've had that before where people are like, oh, Sam, the filmmaker, or kind of saying like in a sarcastic tone. It's like when I first started, and it's like, now those same people are the same ones like, hey, you think you want to do a video on me? It's like, no, I don't. Like, you know, now you respect, you know, I'll be quite honest with you. My first videos were atrocious. Like, I keep them on my YouTube channel just so people could see the evolution. But, you know, there's, you know, going back to what you were saying, like, you think there's these, you know, you have these friends, but like, they're out to like mock you and make fun of you. And they really don't want to see you succeed, because it just shines a light on their own insecurities and shines a light on their own, you know, lack of success in life. So maybe that wasn't the case with this person, but the fact that he or she was trying to tell you like, my way is right and your way is wrong. It's like, that's complete. Now, if you're doing something completely, you know, you're telling somebody to drink a bottle of chlorine because it's going to make you more spiritual, well, then yeah, somebody should probably call you out on that. But if you're kind of doing your own thing and trying to find your own path, how dare you to tell me that like my way is wrong and your way is right? Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. And that was exactly, and like something that I said and something that I live by. I mean, I've traveled a lot. I've traveled all over the world. I've, you know, participated in different kinds of meditations and ceremonies and groups of all different faiths and dogmas. And the one thing that I've noticed is everyone argues that their way is the right way. And I see it as there's common themes amongst, you know, nearly all of these paths, but depending on you, depending on your unique makeup, your life experiences, you have to find your own way, and it has to make sense to you. And so ultimately, you know, at the end of the day, I think it's important that we respect that people have differences and that they're allowed to have differences. And I'm never going to say, oh, what I talk about is right. I mean, I'm changing the way I think all the time, but it works for me. And if it helps somebody, great. But it's, yeah, it's this sort of, when people get to this point where, you know, my knowledge is superior, or this knowledge that I've attained is superior. Okay. Well, my argument is, if you've lived life and you've gone through some really hard things, you have lived experience, and that's true knowledge, and it's worth something, and it's valuable, and it will help some people. And putting yourself out there in and of itself takes courage. So I'm not quite sure why, you know, people want to take the time to tear you down or argue.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. But, you know, that's almost a similar story to like what you were saying with your mom, that, you know, she stopped doing basketball and, you know, because this other person said that she can't. And imagine had you, you know, listened to this person, you know, that you were bothered by it for over a week and you stopped doing what you were doing. It's like, you know, who knows where this journey can take you, right? This podcasting journey where you're interviewing people like me and others, and you don't know where it's going to take you. So you can't listen to these people that are telling you you're not good enough or you're doing something wrong. So I think that you got to listen to your gut, listen to where the feedback is coming from, who it's coming from, and decide whether or not that's good feedback or it isn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually that's true. If you wouldn't want that person's life and wouldn't want to be like them, I mean, don't take advice from them. So like if someone is trying to give you relationship advice and they are chronically going through nightmare relationships, maybe not the person you want to listen to. Like, you know, be selective about where you take advice.
yeah, absolutely. Even on the simplest level, like, you know, you're going to listen to a homeless guy for financial advice? Like, probably not. So why would you listen? You know, you got to look at where, you know, like you said, is this person where I want to be? Yes. Okay. Well, then maybe I should listen to their advice. If the answer is no, then odds are I probably shouldn't be listening to what they're saying.
But that homeless guy would probably have really good advice on regret and all kinds of things. No, really. I agree. There's this homeless guy that used to hang out outside of a bar that I worked at years ago. And, yeah, Jimmy. He always liked to walk me to my car at the end of the night. And sometimes I would give him like, you know, $5 or $10 or something like that. But I didn't every time because I didn't want him to become dependent on it. But I like started asking him questions. And so funny, all the other girls were like, oh, he's so annoying and rude. And I was like, oh, I don't have that experience of him at all, because I talked to him, treated him like a person. And I actually started asking him questions about what happened? How did he end up there? And it turns out, you know, he had this like crazy story. I was like, that would be such a cool movie if it's true. It would be so, I mean, you never know.
Well, yeah, I think you can definitely learn something from everybody, right? Like in mm-hmm. that case, like you said, nothing. I mean, you know, the poor guy was homeless, but yeah, maybe learning what got him to that point so that you don't make those same mistakes in your own life, so that you don't become, you know, somebody that's homeless as well. So
yeah,
I think you can learn from everybody.
Yeah. Jimmy was a hustler. He was a hustler. He had this crazy.
You gotta get Jimmy on the podcast.
I know, if I could find him. He had this crazy story about like how he got like really greedy. He's like, cause I was like, you know, how did you end up here? It's like, I got greedy. I was like, oh, so apparently he had been a drug dealer and he was pushing all this like, you know, cocaine back and forth between here, Vancouver and Miami. And it was like, anyways, and it ended up like, you know, one last run, which is a common thing you hear with drug dealers, that one last run, and that ends them up in jail anyways. And he ended up losing everything, his wife, his family. And
wow. Wait, yeah. He ended up going to jail?
Oh yeah. Yeah. He ended up spending quite a few years in jail, and now he's just like a, you know, career criminal. Basically, he's learned to like hustle on the street. And obviously now, you know, he's smoking crack and stuff like that. But yeah, really interesting. Yeah, Vancouver, we have like quite the drug problem and homeless problem. It's just getting worse and worse and worse. But I mean, everyone has a story, and you know, I just find people's path, their life paths and their life choices so fascinating, because you never know where it's going to turn out, you know? So
yeah, no, absolutely. And I like to say all the time that like, I think sometimes life happens for you, not to you. Mm-hmm. Like, had I not gone through those struggles, you know, years ago, would I be the person that I am today? I don't know, you know. I think sometimes you go through these things in life and it's to teach you a lesson. It's to teach you how to appreciate and have gratitude. And, you know, through these struggles, can you overcome them and become a better person on the other end? Sometimes the answer is no, sometimes the answer is yes, you know? So I think struggle in life is sometimes important. I think it's super important to have that.
Mm-hmm. What does your shirt say? Actually, I'm seeing something strong men. What is that?
Yeah. So this is, based on one of the videos that I did, it's called Error of Easy. And at the end of it, Joe Rogan had said, this is an old quote. Nobody knows where it came from, but it says, hard times make strong men. Strong men makes, easy times. Easy times make weak men. Weak men make hard times. And it just talks about, the cycle in life. Like, you know, we've got to, I don't know if you've seen the video or not, but he talks about, I mean, maybe not so much now, but I created the video at the beginning of the year, way before COVID. And he was talking about how good we have it right now. And people like to think that we have it so bad. And I think overall, I think we still have it good. Yes, we have a pandemic, but for the most part, most people are able to still put food on their table and, you know, for hopefully pay their bills and make ends meet and so on and are healthy. So in that video, Joe was talking about like how good we have it. And it's not until, you know, there's riots in the streets and there's, people, let's say shootings, people killing your family members like that. Those are hard times, right? Those are, you know, some dark times. And Joe was talking about in that particular video, how good we have it. And I think, and I agree with him, I think we still do have it pretty darn good. So anyway, I created this t-shirt based on that video, based on that overall message. So if anybody's listened to this, definitely check out the video. It's pretty cool. It's called Error of Easy.
Awesome. Yeah. I don't think I checked that one out. I definitely will. I love Joe Rogan. I was actually just talking to my partner the other day about how, cause I had found my old iPod and I was like, oh, I remember when I didn't know what podcasts were. And I was like, what? I just saw the app on and I was like, what's a podcast? And then I was on a Greyhound, which doesn't even exist in Canada anymore. And I was on a Greyhound and using the Wi-Fi and then connected and started listening to Joe Rogan. And that's how I found his podcast. And I was like, I found his podcast organically when he was, before he was who he is.
Yeah. I was listening to him like really the same thing. Like I used to have to download it on this like little MP3 player that I had. And I would try and download them, you know, in bulk because his shows back then were like short. They were only like 2 hours. Now mm-hmm. they get up to 3 and 4 hours and it would get me through my work day. And so I would keep them, you know, stacked up on my this like little MP3 player. But I started listening to him maybe back in when he first started. It was like maybe episode like 15. This was like really early on. Mm-hmm. And
it's like him and Brian Redband, right?
Yeah, yeah. He was doing it off like in his home office, like off of his couch on a laptop. It was nothing, you know, what it's like today. And but with listening to Rogan's podcast, you know, this is right around the time where I was like looking for answers in my own life, but this is prior to me becoming a filmmaker. You know, I listened to Joe's advice on how to become a better person. And that that's why I hold Joe's content so close to me, because like it helped me. He was almost like a mentor from afar. He would, you know, those early podcasts that he would give like these big life advices, like really helped me in my own life. So yeah, Joe's a pretty incredible guy. And to now like create these videos where he actually has seen them and he's actually shared it, it's kind of crazy because, you know, 10 years ago, I never, ever expected that to, you know, the filmmaking to land where it has. It's been a crazy journey.
Yeah, definitely. I know, very, very influential guy. Very like, you know, has a lot of things figured out. And yeah, I know even for me, I feel like a lot of the things, I think what he did was he kind of like opened up this door for people to see things and see the world in a different way. to exposing you to different conversations and topics with different people. And yeah, he's got a special way about him. And I definitely would say the same thing for me. Like, I started listening, you know, it was probably like, I think it was 2012 is when I, yeah, it was 2011, 2012. I started listening to him. So maybe not quite at the beginning or something, but he was still pretty
early enough.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, I would say he had like a really huge impact on me, and I was in my early 20s. So that was like a really good, you know, source of information for me to be taking in. Cause you know, otherwise, where are you getting your information from? And if you don't necessarily have people around you that you can, you know, look up to and can mentor you, you can still choose to say, hey, I like what this guy has to say, or I like what this woman has to say, and I'm going to put their stream of thoughts and opinions in my consciousness. Because, you know, it's, you're still surrounding yourself. Like, and that's why I think so many people feel like they know Joe, you know, it's like, you feel like he's your friend because you've been listening to him for so many years. So,
yeah. And I think, you know, there's a ton of other people like him that, you know, you can introduce into your own life. Even if it's just listen to a podcast and have like a positive mentor in your day-to-day life. Like, you use these principles that they teach, like, you know, Jocko, for example, he's constantly talking about discipline, how discipline equals freedom. And it's true. It's like, if you're disciplined with, you know, taking your business to the next level, you're disciplined with making sure you work out, you eat the right foods, like nothing but positivity is going to come from that. So, or, you know, let's say even being disciplined with becoming good, you know, spending time with your family, you know, giving the extra time to your kids, like all those things matter. So he's not just talking about discipline in the gym. He's talking about all aspects of life, I think. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think having, it's great because these, you know, like we were saying before we went live, like, had we not had access to this, you know, 20, 30 years ago, or we didn't have access to this 20, 30 years ago, it's like, it's crazy. We live in a great time where you do, you know, it's like you can listen to somebody talking from, you know, the other side of the country and apply their positivity and their principles into your daily life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
What you're doing, you know, it's like what you're doing with your podcast, I'm sure it was part, or maybe not, but you know, it was probably partly due to being influenced by like, hey, I like what Joe's doing. Let me, you know, teach what I learned and create my own podcast. I'm sure there's people like you and many others that have created a podcast as a result of, you know, his influence.
Oh, 100%. And like the one thing that I've always like, admired about his way of looking at the world and even just his approach. And it's something that I, for a number of years now, have implemented in my own life, has his humility. He is successful, wildly successful. And I think a huge part of it is his humility because, you know, when you have an openness to learn, and that's something that I've kind of gone into, is like having the openness to learn and the humility. Like, you know, sometimes it's easy to hear your guests speak and you want to find a way to relate because you want to sound like you can, you know, keep up with them, or you want to, you know, feel like you're in, intellect can keep up with them. But sometimes it's actually not about that. It's about, you know, being able to just learn. And so that's something with that ability and openness to wanting to learn and the humility, which is something I've definitely taken a page from his book, is going into what I'm doing is I'm having conversations and asking questions that I want to know, that I want to learn. And I've learned a ton from doing that. And yeah, I think that that's like a huge sort of important part of any kind of journey and success, is you never want to feel like you have it all figured out or your cup is too full, because I mean.
No, I agree. Like the person that was giving you bad advice, they said, right, like that, you know, they pretty much have all the answers. Like, well, that person is never going to evolve as a human, or even as, you know, whatever the hell it is that they do. Like, you've got to, you know, by listening, I heard a quote, I forget where it came from or who said it, but they said, and hopefully I'm not butchering this, but they said, if you're talking, you're not learning, right? If you're listening, then you are. And I totally agree with that. Like, if you're just listening to like what you're doing with this podcast and similar to like what I've done with my videos, just interviewing people, it's like you ask a question and you actually like are listening to what they're saying. Like, yeah, you can learn a lot from others. You can learn a lot through, you know, the mistakes that they made and how they use those mistakes to, you know, to learn from them. So
definitely, yeah,
I think listening is super important.
And that's actually something I've had to develop, because my own sort of nervous habit over the years has been to, you know, like, motor mouth, like anxiously talk. And I realized that with some like self-reflection that that's what that was. It was a nervous habit of like feeling like if I was quiet and like allowed those moments of silence where people really saw me, that they would see all of the flaws in me that I didn't feel were acceptable. So if I could just kind of almost like control the dialogue, even if it was just nonsense bullshit, I'm not even saying anything, you know? And so I've really had to pay close attention to where that's coming from and take time to like, just take a breath and like really hear what other people are saying, because I mean, that's just a way to like, you know, it's like a way of evading your presence. If you can, you know, stay on top of things instead of sink into something, you don't feel as much. But I mean, when it comes to having conversations with other people, especially if you're going to be posting them live, I mean, nobody, those fluffy conversations, it's like, I can't handle listening to more than 5 minutes of like, oh my God, welcome to my show. Yay.
Just like, yeah. Yeah, you listen to like the regular radio, talk radio in the morning here. Sometimes it'll, you know, it'll be on like when I first turn on the car, and sometimes I'll get caught up, listen to it for like 5 minutes, and like it's just fluffy bullshit nonsense. Mm-hmm. It's like there's no meat to it. I'm so, and like you, we're so used to listening to like high quality conversations that when we listen to this other crap, it's like, oh, like I can't even take it. Like that, the news media, I just can't listen to it. It's crap.
Yeah. And it's not even relatable anymore, especially at this point in history. We're going through, let's face it, this is a dark time in human history. It is for a lot of people. And, you know, I think that it's just, if somebody, I don't know, it's just for, maybe it's for me, maybe I can't speak for everybody, but I think for me, because I've, you know, been through the ringer, I don't know how many times, that I can't relate to that stuff. I can't relate to those kinds of surface level conversations. Like, I'm not even good at like social settings. I went out with a girlfriend, and I know she listens to my podcast, so I'm not going to say which one, but I went out with a girlfriend and we were in a social setting and it was people I didn't know. And I was trying to like relate, and everything was just so surface level. And I wanted to go deep. And I had this one girl, and we were getting into like a really like, and then all of a sudden it was like, we went somewhere that was too deep for her. And it was just like, I saw this like switch where it was like, no, I want to be like partying. And I just was like,
Yeah. Maybe you know? Were exposing something that, you know, she didn't want to reveal. It could have been that. I don't know, you know, what direction you guys went on that conversation, but yeah, sometimes people aren't willing to have those conversations or know how to have those conversations or even like, you know, expose a piece of them that they just don't want to share with you. Like, I think there's a lot of power in like being completely honest with somebody and letting it all out and exposing who you are. I mean, obviously you're not going to want to do that with everyone. You know, you're not just going to walk down the street and share your, you know, your everything with complete strangers, but with people that you trust, I think it's important to have those conversations.
Yeah. And also just kind of setting, like coming back to standard, setting a standard too of like, it's, I think it's really, I think right now, at least for me and with what I'm trying to do is I think it's really important for people to feel like it's okay to be themselves and to be real. You know, it's part of the reason why I am open, and I've kind of developed this over the years. And of course, at the same time, I have to learn to not overshare, because I mean, that motor mouth will get me in trouble. But anyway, but you know, like to share with people, Because when you can say I'm a human and this is me, it makes people kind of relax and go, oh, you're safe. Okay. I can relax and we can really connect. Whereas if everyone's guarded and you keep everything on the surface, because everyone needs to keep up this facade that I'm perfect. I mean, that seems so exhausting. And that's why I try to stay away from that. And I don't ever want to have like that become this pressure I have to live up to of this perfection. Cause I mean,
yeah, I know that, but people are going to know that. I mean, as people get to know you better, right? Like they're going to know that you're hiding something, right? They're going to know that like, there's something about her that I don't know. They're going to, you know, they're going to call your bullshit on whatever it is that, you know, that you're hiding from them. Eventually,
if I call it first.
Yeah. But all truths get exposed, right? They eventually come out. It's like, mm-hmm. Listen, you know, again, there's going to be certain things you're not going to want to share with everybody, but I think it's important to be honest with others of who you are. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, again, you know, like how many times have you listened to, you know, you can just sense like, hey, I think this person's bullshitting me or lying to me about something. It's like, people are going to call you out on that eventually, especially on a live platform like this, where, you know, as your fans get to know who you are and get to understand like your truths and stuff, like after a while, they're going to figure out whether or not you're bullshitting.
Mm, yes, it's very true. No, I just, I use this platform as like I listen to all my episodes after and sometimes I do because I want to learn. I study them, right? I mean, I spent years acting as well. Like I grew up as an actor and stuff. So it's like when you want to improve, you need to know what you're doing. So, you know, I listen back and I go, oh, sometimes I just cringe and I'm like, okay, I'm sure no one else will notice that, but I'm just like, okay, it's such a good way to learn.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's so uncomfortable though to listen to yourself. Like there's times where I do videos on for clients and I don't see myself, but I, you know, I hear myself talking to the person and trying to give them direction. And it's so uncomfortable. I'm like, God, just shut the fuck up, Sam. So uncomfortable. So God bless you for being able to like listen to a full podcast of, you know, of you having a conversation with somebody. That takes a lot of strength.
Hey, but you know what though? Having conversations is so much easier than watching back like some of my like audition tapes, self tapes, or like acting classes. I actually have some. Like this, how long I have some on VHS. Wow. Oh my God. Oh, well, I should get a VHS player and throw those babies in. Not.
You should
but
put
anyways.
Them up on your, you know, put them up on your Instagram, you know, page, share them. Little gems, right?
Well, actually, it was really funny. I have a friend and we've been friends since we were kids. And she always teases me about how she wants to play these at my wedding. I'm like, there's no way. And I'm not going to have a wedding like that. And I will not invite you if you do. She's like, we've been friends since we were one and two. She's got this video of us, me and her. We went through a phase where we were interviewing each other, like talk show style, but I took it so seriously that it's like, and I was like 14 too, so old enough that it's like really nerdy.
Yeah.
Anyways, and I watched it recently and I was like, this is just no. And she's like, yeah, I should show people, you should like put that out there. And I'm like, not a chance. And nobody wants to see my lip sync to Christina Aguilera's Beautiful. That was, oh God. Oh God. So with your journey and so or where you are today, what's been like one of the, I'd say it's good to ask for contrast. What's been one of the hardest parts and what's been the most rewarding for you?
The most rewarding has been, you know, getting positive feedback from people saying, hey, you know what, like your video, I totally agree with it. I love its message, or it's changed my life. I get stuff like that all the time. The hardest part is really transitioning that to becoming a full-time filmmaker. Like how do I monetize the video? So I create the videos. Again, I vote and still to this day, I create the videos for myself. Like I like to put out these positive messages because these are words that I need to hear sometimes for myself. But I found that there's really not any money in that. Like if you look at the YouTube AdSense money that you get from this, it's you're actually losing money. So the difficult part for me has been transitioning that work and that type of content to clients that want to actually pay for that type of work. And it's worked. Like, you know, I use that very much as my portfolio. But I, you know, that took a little while. It's like, how do I market that to a gun manufacturer? How do I show that to like an IT company, and how are they going to want that type of content for themselves? So it took a little while to figure that out, but that was really the hardest part. It's like, how do I turn my passion and doing what I love to something that I could support myself with? Mm-hmm. So, and that's where I'm at now. It's like, look, I don't have it all figured out. Like, you know, I'm not making a ton of money off of this, but it's definitely headed in that direction where I'm able to no longer have to go to a 9-to-5 and do this completely full time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Trying to figure out how to monetize is definitely not, it's not easy, especially because, you know, when you're like this artistic person and it's like it's a passion and it starts out that way, it's almost hard to transition that, like, okay, but I still need to pay my bills and feed my family or whatever. It's yeah. hard to figure out how to transition. But I think, like, being, you know, when I see and hear people that are able to do that, I'm just like, that's ideal, to be able to make money doing what you love.
Yeah, I think so. But I think we also have like a negative association with like our values sometimes. Like, I know, at least when I first started, because I love what I do, I feel like it wasn't worth the price that I charge, you know, clients at times. And it's like, you know, you got to understand that, like, just because you love what you're doing, whether it's, you know, let's say you're a carpenter and you would build somebody a table for free, doesn't mean that you shouldn't charge what it's worth. So I had, you know, along with trying to figure out like, how do I market these videos for clients, was like understanding what my true value is worth. Like, my time at the end of the day is still worth something. So I can't be shortchanging myself or thinking that, hey, you know what, it's not worth anything because I love what I do. It's like, yeah, I love what I do and that's great, but you should still be compensated for that. So I think once you're able to overcome that, like that negative, at least for me, overcome that like negative association with like your worth, I think you could really, you know, take things to the next level. That's been, like I said, the hardest thing for me. It's like, you know, sales and marketing, and how do I get to work with the clients that I really want to work with. Mm. You know, if I tell you like what I would charge for some of the videos when I first started, it's like, it was pennies. Like, mm. you know, and at the time I was like, man, this is great. I can't believe this person's paying me this amount of money. But like, now, like, I would never do it for that low of a rate. So it's, you know, it's just getting comfortable with that.
Hmm. So I guess then a huge part of like your journey would be, like you were saying, like changing some of your beliefs around like your worth. And I can relate with that as well, because I'm like, I have different things I want to offer, but I just don't know. And I think that they'd be valuable, but I just don't know how to market them. And I'm not quite sure what they would be worth and all of that. And then, like you said, it comes down to that feeling like, but I just want to do good and I want to create and I want to help people, and to struggle with that, like, you know, okay, then what is this worth?
Right. And is it good enough? Like, I know I struggled with that a lot in the past. Like, you know, I would get these comments from people, you know, random strangers telling me, man, your videos are awesome. And I would, like, in the back of my mind, I would think they were like BSing me a little bit. Like, so that took a little while to overcome, like understanding like, hey, you know what? I am as good as these people are telling me there. And it sounds cocky, but it's like, you gotta believe in your work and what people are, you know, what some people are telling you, that you know, you are good at what you do. So I think understanding your worth is super important.
So like, as you've kind of gone along with this journey, and over time, the more that you've done it, obviously the more that your confidence has grown and your belief in yourself.
Yeah, no, definitely. When I first started, like, I wouldn't even believe if somebody told me my video was awesome, I'd be like, they're BSing me. Or I try to like be humble about it. And not that I brag, but like, yeah, you know, my work is incredible. But even till to the, you know, today a little bit, like if somebody says, oh, your videos are great. It's like, you know, a little bit in me says like, ah, you know, I always think that I could be better. Like I think we're our toughest critics sometimes, right? Like if you listen to some of your first podcasts and you compare it to like, to, you know, your latest one, like you'll probably look back and like, okay, I could see where I've gotten better in interviewing people and asking the right, you know, the right questions. Mm-hmm. But you know, that took time, right? That took time for you to like, you know, evolve and get better. So, yeah, for me, just, I, you know, having confidence in my own ability and what I want to charge, you know, clients and what I think I'm worth is, you know, that took a little while.
That I'm taking notes here, mental notes. Well, because I mean, if I was taking physical notes, it would be so silly because I literally can re-listen to this episode like 10,000 times if I want to, but I'm taking mental notes because like I said, I ask questions that I am also learning myself. And I do agree. It's like trying to figure out that what you're offering, you know, it's not necessarily like it's perfection or that you're perfect, but it is of value to people, because if it wasn't, then people wouldn't take the time to reach out to you to say, hey, like, you know, you're doing a good job, or that was great, or that moved me in some way. So I guess I want to say, you know, what would be some of your insights that you could share? Because you've talked to a lot of different people, you've done a lot of different filmmaking now, and interviewing. So for those that are listening that are, let's say, at rock bottom and they're struggling with, you know, the self-doubt and, you know, the despair, and they, like, what would be some insights and top tips that you could give to these people?
You know, from a personal level, I think the first thing you could do is, anyone should really do is like whatever it is that they're going through, like if you want change in life, you gotta, like the Michael Jackson song says, you gotta look at the man in the mirror, because that's really, really where the change is going to start. You know, if you're constantly getting into arguments with somebody, or you're constantly, you know, certain things are, you know, are happening in your life, right? You've got to look within. You got to say, hey, you know what? Like in jiu-jitsu, for example, right? I've been doing jiu-jitsu for nearly 10 years now. And if I'm constantly getting caught in an arm bar, it's not the other person's fault that I'm getting caught in that submission. It's something that I'm doing wrong. So I've got to figure out what it is that I'm doing wrong and then address those issues. So any advice I can give to somebody would be look within, start there, and then move forward.
Okay. Yeah, that's definitely a really powerful message for anybody that's listening, because yeah, I mean, I would agree with Sam that, you know, that's such an important sense of empowerment for people, is if you can say, hey, where am I going wrong? Or what am I not seeing that I need to see? Is, you know, that's how I've been able to change anything in my life. So what about for people who are maybe struggling at rock bottom, and if you were able to give them some kind of like, you know, career advice, or, you know, about following their passions or how to even begin, what would you give them for advice?
You know, it's hard because, like, you know, before I started becoming, started doing filmmaking, I didn't realize that like that was going to become my passion. So I think the best advice I can give somebody, like, to find something that they're passionate about is just to try everything, right? Like I almost like stumbled upon the filmmaking thing, and by working on it, it quickly turned into like a hobby, and it became a passion of mine. So I would say, like, if somebody's looking to do something and they're not sure what to do with their lives, like just try anything, like, because you never know what you're going to stumble upon. You're never going to know like what makes you, you know, what makes you tick, what makes you happy. So I would say just try everything until you find that thing that does make you happy.
Okay, cool. And where can people find you?
So I'm under Samuel Rivera Films pretty much everywhere, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. I'm most active on Instagram. But yeah, that's where you could find me. I've got my website. Everything's all under Samuel Rivera Films.
Awesome. Okay. Well, I really enjoyed this conversation today and chatting with you. And I will probably be releasing it sometimes. Like I'm trying to release them every 2 weeks, but I think I was behind by a week. So I have to do the math, but it'll either be this Tuesday or the following Tuesday.
Okay. Awesome. That's great.
So thank you so much for your time. And I really enjoy chatting with you. And thank you very much also for all of the feedback that you've given me on my own little video making projects.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and like I said, that video was pretty good when you sent it to me. I'm like, man, this is actually, you have no idea. Sometimes, and I always encourage people, like, so I've gotten people where they'll DM me, I'm like, hey, can you take a look at some of my work or give me some advice? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. Cause I have no problem helping people and say, hey, look, you could have done this better, especially if they're coming to me, you know, asking for advice. And there's been times where I've gotten some stuff where I'm like, woof, this is really bad. How do I help this person? And, but you presented yours. I'm like, wow, this is actually pretty good. Like it's not bad.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. So, well, I actually still I've been on the fence about doing the first one that I had messaged you about, the pen is mightier than the sword.
Yeah.
Because I know it's obviously like super long content, which is part of the reason why I haven't done it. Cause after I did that 2 minute video, I was like, oh, Sam's right. This is a lot of work. it's a lot of time.
Yeah. You know, people like really underestimate like how much time it takes to, and you saw that for yourself. Like it's people watch a video. I'm like, oh, I could do that. Oh, that's hard. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of the videos, like, you know, if you look at any of the Rogan videos that I've done or Jocko or really any of them, like they've got a minimum of like 25, 30 hours put into them. And this is only a 2 minute video. Like mm-hmm. In some of my original content that I've created, like where I film, I produced a whole entire thing. Like, you know, you're looking at like 40, 60, you know, sometimes even more hours of recording the person, editing, going back and having to film more. It's like, there's a lot of work that goes into this that people just don't understand what it takes. So.
Wait, so you now you film most of your, like the video content that you use for these videos?
So it depends. So I have like my own original content where like I will interview, let's say you, and we'll come up with a series of questions and I'll build a video on your story. And then I have videos where I've created like, you know, the ones that you're familiar with, like the Joe Rogan stuff, where I call it content recrafting, where I basically take somebody's content, like a podcast, and I turn it into something completely different. So I have those two types of pieces of content. Like my most recent work that I did that's an original piece was on a good friend of mine. He's actually even my business coach. His name is Rafael Garay. And he talks about like how he overcame. He was once like this basically he was like a criminal. He was like this drug dealer, and how he changed his life to where it is now, where he's like a business coach now. And he's, he's doing some really positive things for many, many people. And you would never know that about him unless, you know, you watch that video, but point here is that I've done stuff like that where it's completely produced by me, filming all the way through to the end of editing it and distributing the video, to doing stuff like I've done on Rogan.
Oh, okay. Cool. So for anybody who's listening, if these are things that you need, Sam is your guy. I know. I was going to say, with everything kind of shut down right now, I don't know, you're in New Jersey.
Yeah.
Are you guys in lockdown right now at all? Or are you kind of?
Well, yeah. So like I'm not far outside of like New York City. We're like 25 minutes, if that, you know, from New York City. And where we are specifically, like the COVID rates are rising, and they're talking about, you know, certain areas have like curfews, and yeah. So we're certainly, you know, in the, I guess in the middle of the pandemic, and this is probably where it hit the hardest, you know, when it first happened in March. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, but I'm still able to like, you know, go out and film as long as you're careful, right? You have to wear a mask. Like for example, I just did a video for an orthopedic surgeon, and I was actually in the surgery room with him. But prior to that, I had to get the whole COVID test thing, and But yeah, it's still pretty crazy.
Wow. Okay. Wait, what's the coolest thing that you've ever filmed? Like the, well, like, okay, that's such a general question. What's the coolest thing you've ever filmed? What's the craziest thing you've ever filmed? And what's the most like shocking thing you've ever filmed?
I can't say that I've had really, see, a lot of the videos that I create is mainly like on either business stories or, you know, I'm not out there like filming like riots or anything like that. So, I don't really have much exposure to like these crazy things. I would say really the most shocking thing is that I've been able to enter into the world of all these different people that I would never have access to otherwise. Like if I didn't become a filmmaker, like there'd be no way you'd be able to witness, unless you're in the medical field, witness a surgery like I just did on Wednesday. You know, it's like this, the camera literally gives me access to all these different worlds that I otherwise wouldn't have been able to or have privilege to. So I would say that as far as like craziest thing, that would be it. I would say that filming a surgery, like I never expected 5 years ago that I'd be filming a, you know, an orthopedic surgeon doing his thing, you know? So outside of that, the coolest thing would be like filming like concerts. Like I've done, you know, behind the scenes on concerts. There's a punk rock artist that I filmed. His name is Harley Flanagan. He was big in the 80s. He had a band called the Cro-Mags. Still does. He still goes on tour. But being able to be, you know, behind the scenes in his dressing room, like hanging out with him and recording that prior to them going up on stage or filming, you know, before a major, like, you know, world championship boxing match, you know, being able to be ringside for that, like filming all that behind the scenes. And unfortunately that boxer like lost his fight. But again, like that would be like the coolest thing, having access to these people that I otherwise wouldn't have access to. Like even that world champion fighter, like prior, so we were doing, Teddy wanted me to do this video where we recorded the fight camp. And then we also recorded the night of the fight. Like how many times or how many people would you have, you know, have you met that have been able to have access to like the locker room and the actual fight camp? Like they're training for this, you know, for this title bout. So I would say that would probably be the coolest thing.
Yeah, I imagine you'd actually get like a really different perspective, like an intimate perspective on people that way.
Yeah, yeah, you definitely do. And it all depends on like how much they want to, you know, let out about themselves. But yeah, like for the most part, like I've been able to, you know, film these people and I try and keep it respectful, like, you know, but I just film, I'm like, my style is very much like fly on the wall. I'm just kind of hanging out in the corner. Like if I was filming you right now, I'd be on the corner, just filming you doing your thing, almost acting like you.
For those of you who can't see, I'm being weird with my fingers.
Yeah. But you get some intimate moments that way for sure. Like, you know, you see people, you know, going through some things or sharing some stories that they otherwise wouldn't have. So it's pretty crazy.
Well, before we part ways, can you share, the most powerful story that you've ever been able to capture from somebody?
Two of them really come to mind, and it's, and they both have similar themes. It was, the one that I did on Rafael Garay, where, you know, this guy was, a drug dealer, a major drug dealer, and he was locked up for a little while. And it wasn't until he lost his family that, he decided that it was time for him to change. That point in his life that he hit where he said, you know what, I've got to do something about my life. And so I would encourage anybody to check out that video. And then the other one was of Harley Flanagan, similar story in that he went to jail probably a few times, but you know, he had like a major drug addiction, and it wasn't until he found jujitsu that he was able to change his life. So those two would probably be the most interesting and fascinating stories I've done to date.
Can you send me the links to those and I'll include them in the footnotes on the podcast?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. They're very short videos. They're only like, you know, 5 or 6 minutes long, but they have a lot of power in them. So yeah, I'll definitely share them.
Perfect. Sure. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time and for sitting down with me today. And
my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Definitely enjoyed chatting with you.
All right. Likewise.
Sounds good. We'll talk soon.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Shanti Ma Podcast. I really hope you enjoyed today's episode. And if you did, please remember to subscribe and leave a review. Until next time. Oh,